This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation. Get ready for 2 hours of fantasy football and NFL news coverage and analysis. Bill Enright here, along with Todd DeVries, our producer, Kevin Collins. Gentlemen, week four of the NFL starting tonight with the San Francisco 49ers and the St. Louis Rams.
Oh, Bill, Thursday night football. Do we like it? Do we not like it? Games are a little sloppy, Mr. Bill.
They certainly are.
Patriots, Jets, a couple weeks ago, I know you were there in the stadium, Bill. That was literally sloppy with the rain.
Yep.
Last week, the high-flying Eagles, 16 points.
Not so high-flying.
4,000 turnovers.
Yeah.
Just ugly football. The last 15 Thursday night games, Bill, 11 times it's been the under on the over-under.
Ew.
Yeah. Teams are tired, Bill. Teams are still sore from the Sunday games a couple days prior. And it's showing on the field. So, you know, last year the Rams and Niners, they tied. Remember that? They tied. I think it was it 13-13 or 16-16? Can't remember. Low-scoring tie. And then the Rams and Niners, second game, the Rams actually beat the Niners.
I'm on the fence about these Thursday night games. I don't really have a strong opinion either way, other than the fact that from a fan's perspective, from an NFL fan perspective, I like the Thursday night games because it gives me an opportunity to watch games during the week that I probably wouldn't be able to watch on Sunday. From a fantasy football angle, I hate them because, like you said, Todd, the over in 11 out of the last 15 games, not a lot of scoring. That's not good for fantasy football. If you have guys going tonight, you're probably a little nervous. I have Colin Kaepernick in a few leagues. Bad performance last week against the Indianapolis Colts. Bad performance against the Seattle Seahawks 2 weeks ago. Am I expecting him to really light it up on Thursday night just a few days after he got decimated by the Colts? Not really. So I'm kind of in the middle on the Thursday night games. Again, love it from a football fan's perspective because it brings football, it brings the NFL to my TV for another day.
I hear you. And when they made the announcement a couple years ago that they were going to go full bore Thursday night every week,
right?
We were all pumped. We were fired up. But now that I'm seeing the actual quality of the games, Bill, I'm having second thoughts. I'm not so sure I'm not sure it's good for the game. You know,
it's definitely not good for the players, I'll tell you that much.
That's what I was just going to say. With everyone crying and moaning about, you know, the safety of the players, well, I coached a peewee football team for 3 years, okay, for my son. And usually we played every Sunday, but there was usually one time during the year where you had to play a weeknight game as well, like a Thursday night or Wednesday night or something.
Did you run a 3-4 or 4-3 in that?
we did the wide nine.
Got to chuckle out of Bill at least. Go ahead, continue.
But honestly, it throws a wrench into your schedule. It's like the kids are tired, they're sore. And you know, now we're talking about professional athletes. I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of it. I think that they need to adjust how they do these Thursday night games. And, Bill, I have a solution, by the way.
How are they making this adjustment, Todd? Tell us.
Here's what they should do, okay? Of course, this will never happen, but this is my pie-in-the-sky idea. Bill, if you're playing on Thursday night, okay, they should have it weeks 4 through 12.
12, okay.
And week 1, you know, week 1, of course, too. And the teams that are playing on Thursday night, both – are required to have their bye the week before.
It's not a terrible
idea. Interesting.
It's not a terrible. What about Friday night football?
High school.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, Todd. So they would have a bye the week before. They wouldn't be rushed to set up their game plan. The injured players wouldn't be rushed to get back on the field.
No.
It would give them
they'd
some
have
extra
10 days,
time.
Basically 10 days before and 10 days after. Right. Now, it's a scheduling, logistically, obviously, you know, it can certainly be done. You know, it would limit the number of teams that can go on Thursday nights, but I guess they already limit that anyway. But And, of course, it would take away a couple games, which would take away massive amounts of revenue, so this is why it'll never happen, in weeks 2 and 3 and then the last couple weeks of the year. You know what I mean?
Right, because there's no buys during those weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a wrench in my plan there, a little bit there, Bill. But overall, I think it would provide a much higher quality of football because I'm telling you, you're going to watch tonight, it's going to be sloppy.
Well, tonight's game should be fun. It should be a good game. You have two NFC West teams going at it. You mentioned earlier, they tied last year. The 49ers were the NFC champions. They lost in overtime to the Rams, and they tied them last year. So the game, looking just at the schedule, looking at the matchup, it should be a good game. And yet, because it's playing on Thursday, we already kind of know that it was going to be a crappy one.
Probably.
Just like the Patriots and the Jets a couple weeks ago. It should have been awesome. I mean, the rain had something to do with it, I think. But even in the first half, it was dry as a bone. There was no scoring going on. Aaron Dobson had a touchdown, and I think the Jets had a field goal.
Listen, look at this. For last year, okay, I'm going back to last year. Week 2, the Thursdays began last year.
Right.
And you had 23-10 is the score. Okay.
Okay. Who
next
was that?
Week, Packers beat the Bears 23-10. This is last year.
Right, that was boring.
Boring.
Jay Cutler got like sacked 6 times. I remember that game.
Giants beat Carolina 36-7.
Easy game.
Boring. Ravens 23-16 over the Browns. St. Louis 17, Arizona 3.
St. Louis 17, yeah.
San Francisco 13, Seattle 6.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it goes on and on. Buffalo 19, Miami 14. You know, I don't know. There are some higher scoring games, I guess, thrown in there a little bit.
Yeah, four out of 15 were high scoring.
I'm trying to find one exciting high scoring game. I guess the best was the Titans 26, Steelers 23. That was pretty much your best Thursday night game.
I remember that one. Chris Johnson had a pretty good game, 90-something.
Yeah, that game was both high scoring and close. Every other game was either an absolute blowout or a low scoring bore fest.
I remember that Browns Raven with some ones actually being close at the end.
It was. Those are the two.
Yeah,
those are the two games. So there you go. Hopefully they break the trend. They make us look stupid. And tonight's a good game. High quality, you know, clean game. I'll tell you what, man. If you're a fantasy player, play the defenses in these Thursday night games. Because
I would rather the game be awesome tonight and look stupid than being right and being bored watching the game later.
I agree. Well, another part of it is, again, I think part of it, you know, the guys are sore and tired and not fully recovered from Sunday. But also, you know, the coaches don't have time to put a lot of wrinkles into the offenses and defenses. They pretty much go pretty vanilla a lot of these Thursday night games.
I'm gonna provide a little devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Just because I love Thursday night football. For the exact reason Bill said, just because I get to watch NFL football on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. I think tonight's going to be a good game for a couple reasons. I think both teams, 1 and 2, desperately need a win. Divisional game, playing against one another. This is a huge game for St. Louis. You could argue that if they go 1-3 and they lose this game, you know, to a divisional opponent at home, they could be done. Last year, as you pointed out, they tied, I believe, out in San Francisco. They almost tied again in St. Louis if it wasn't for a Legatron 54-yard field goal with less than a minute left in overtime.
Right.
So these two teams somehow, you know, even though the paper may tell us that San Francisco is a superior team, when these two teams play, it's generally, over the last couple of years, pretty close. And I think that when you look at the spot, the overall spot of this game with both teams 1-2, desperately needing a win at this early juncture of the season, a divisional game, both familiar with each other, I think you're going to get, it may not be the prettiest game, but I think you're going to get a good competitive game. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
You know, the 49ers defense is not the defense that we're used to seeing just dominate their opposition. Alden Smith is out because he's in rehab. Patrick Wilson is a little bit banged up with a groin injury. The Rams' defense stinks.
You know what surprised me, Bill, was that offense scored 7 points at home against the Colts, who I give absolutely no credit to prior to last week.
I couldn't believe that, Kevin.
The Colts just don't impress me, Bill, especially on defense. Like, all their weapons are on offense, and it was like to come off that beating San Francisco took in Seattle and come home and have a very winnable game against Indianapolis, who's flying all the way across the country pretty much. It's like you got to put up more than 7 points in that game. That really discouraged me if I'm a Kaepernick slash, you know, one of these guys that has a lot of 49ers on his team, or if I'm just a fan of the team. Like, that's just discouraging, the layover like that.
get ready for a Frank Gore show tonight, because he dominated the Colts in the first half, and then he only got the ball five times in the second half, and Jim Harbaugh is kind of taking some heat because of it.
I think the Niners, Bill, are the Niners like a 3 or 3.5 point favorite tonight?
Yeah, 3.5 point favorite on the road.
Yeah, no, it's a tough spot. I mean, it's a tough game. If you're in one of these pick'em pools like I am, I'm in a couple of them. It's a tough spread. It's a tough situation because both teams really need this game.
Yep.
But, you know, something just tells me that, you know, after being basically embarrassed on their home field by the Colts last week, and I don't know, you know, you guys probably watched a lot more of that game than I did, but from the bits that I was able to watch and watch again on the replay on NFL Network, the way the Colts won that football game was not fluky. They pushed around. They physically pushed around and manhandled the 49ers. And you and I both know that that's not, you know, a normal thing for a Jim Harbaugh team. So I got to think that he's going to rally the troops even on a short week and get something out of his football team tonight. So, I mean, I've picked the Niners, but I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I'm just banking on that alone.
Todd, do you agree that it's a much bigger game for the Niners than it is for the Rams?
Of course. The Niners have Super Bowl aspirations, and 1-3 is a tough hole. I'm looking at last year's box score in the Edwards-Jones Dome, December 2nd. Entering the fourth quarter, the score was 7-2.
Oh, ridiculous.
And, by the way, the touchdown that the Rams
was
scored
a defensive
was
score,
defensive,
right?
Defensive. Two-yard fumble return.
That was that weird play. Kaepernick was trying to pitch the ball, and he pitched it backwards, and he pitched it, like, into his end zone, and the Rams recovered it, if I remember.
Right.
Yeah, there was a safety. There was a defensive
touchdown. And then it got to overtime, and just like the game out in San Francisco, there was a myriad of, like, missed field goals. And I think Legatron hit a bomb, if I remember, like, with just under a minute left. Because I remember thinking, watching that game, guys, what are the, you know, it's rare we see ties, but to see two teams tie twice in the same year, that would have been unprecedented.
And here's how it worked. I mean, you're right. I've got the box score in front of me. Legatron kicked a 53-yarder at the end of regulation to send it to OT, okay? And then the game-winning field goal was with 26 seconds left. So they were 26 ticks away from another tie.
Yeah, two ties in 1 year by the same two teams. That would have been crazy.
All I'm saying is, and this game we're talking about was not a Thursday night game. It was a Sunday 1 o'clocker. Bill, it better be more exciting than that. 16-13 overtime, 74 minutes and 34 seconds of 16-13 action, a safety and a defensive touchdown. I need more than that tonight.
If Vernon Davis is not, and we're going to get to the injury report in just a little bit, but if Vernon Davis is not playing tonight for the 49ers, Colin Kaepernick has literally one receiver to throw to, and that's Anquan Boldin. Kyle Williams, John Baldwin, Quentin Patton aren't doing much out there.
Nope.
So it'll be interesting to see how the game plays out. Again, I'll say it again. I'd rather be wrong and have fun watching the game tonight than be right and be bored to tears.
I agree. But, I agree with what Kevin's saying. It's a huge game, you know.
Yeah.
Both, you know, it's a big game. I hope it's a close game. I hope it's exciting. But, you know, these Thursday night games have been stinkers. Let's hope we get a good one.
And here's what's going to happen. After this game tonight, let's say it is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the score is 13-10. I'm going to go on Twitter, and I'm going to say another boring Thursday night game, no scoring, not a lot of action. And then I'm going to get some knucklehead that responds to me and starts saying, oh, it was a great game just because there wasn't a lot of scoring. It wasn't fun to watch. It doesn't mean it's not fun to watch. It was a defensive battle. No one wants to see defensive battles. If they did, the NFL rulebook would be in favor of the defense, but it's not. It's in favor of the quarterbacks, and it's in favor of the offense. So I don't want any of these morons tweeting me later tonight when I say, oh, this game sucked because the score is 13-10. I don't want to hear from any of you trying to convince me otherwise. You're never going to tell me that when the score is 13-10 and there's only one touchdown and a whole bunch of field goals, you're never going to get me to respond positively to that kind of game.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
Yeah. And by the way, you can follow me on Twitter, at Bill Enright.
By the way. Oh, Bill.
All right, what do you say we move over to the injury report for week four, Todd? A lot of news, a lot of updates, and a lot of injuries. So we're going to get into it with the quarterbacks right now. Blaine Gabbert is starting for the Jacksonville Jaguars. From a fantasy football perspective, we hate this news, don't we?
Get him out of here. You know, Blaine Gabbert,
Would much rather see Chad Henne.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone except for Blaine Gabbert. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. Gabbert's back. I mean, I think they're trying to tank it. I think some of these teams, that goes with the next piece of injury news that we're dealing with, which is, well, Brian Hoyer is going to start again for the Browns.
Right.
I think these teams are intentionally throwing these guys out there to lose.
You think so?
Part of me thinks that.
Trying to get Clowney?
No.
No, not Clowney. Teddy.
Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater. Clowney's old news, Kevin.
Yeah,
I like Clowney.
Step up your – yeah, because you have a franchise quarterback in Tom Brady.
We need a
Jacksonville
pass
Jaguars, right. The Cleveland Browns, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's
who,
true.
By the way, just benched Josh Freeman, and they're starting Mike Glennon this week. They all need a quarterback, so they're going for Teddy.
Yes. Another piece of quarterback news, Bill. Terrell Pryor still dealing with the concussion symptoms from that Monday night game. How about Terrell Pryor? What's going on there behind the scenes with this whole concussion protocol? You been following this?
I still don't understand how the concussion protocol applies to some players. It doesn't apply to all players. It applies to – I just don't get it. I don't understand how it's not a uniform system with – if you have a concussion in one game, you cannot play the following week. Just that simple. You can't play.
Yeah. Who was it? I remember a couple years ago, Stuart Bradley, the linebacker for the Eagles. He had a concussion, a head-to-head hit. Okay. Mm-hmm. He, if you remember, he got up and he literally fell down, like lost his balance and fell down.
That's what happened to Jermichael Finley this weekend.
Yeah, but the Eagles put him back in the game. I'm going back a couple years now. They put him back in the game like the next series. And we're all like, what? So I'm trying to get to your point, Bill. Like, every team does it differently. Terrell Pryor apparently, you know, had this head-to-head hit, and then he played a couple more plays, right, before they yanked him,
mm-hmm.
Which is why the NFL is checking into the protocol to see if they followed the protocol correctly or not. And Terrell Pryor didn't help matters, Bill, because he tweeted that he doesn't really remember anything from the game.
Oh, great.
Raiders are like, thanks, TP.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, dude.
Last piece of quarterback news, Bill. Christian Ponder has a rib injury. Uh-oh.
Matt Castle to the rescue.
Matt Castle to the rescue. The Vikings are stacked at the quarterback position, Bill.
Oh, I think they got Joe Webb still.
Joe Webb, Tavares Jackson.
They're so stacked. No, Tavares Jackson's on the Seahawks. They're so stacked.
I was going through old Viking quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
Don't you get it?
I'm sorry.
Fran Tarkington.
They're so stacked at quarterback that they had the benefit of moving Joe Webb to wide receiver.
Yes.
That's how stacked they are at quarterback.
Joe Webb's a difference maker at wide receiver.
Big time.
All right. Running backs, Bill. C.J. Spiller is practicing in full with that thigh bruise. You
good
bullish
news for,
on him?
Yeah, that's good news for fantasy because he's going to be out there this weekend. But the bad news is he's playing against the Ravens. They still have a good defense.
Speaking of the Ravens, Ray Rice, he practiced again today, Bill. Limited, but he practiced. And they're expecting him to play this week. You believe in that?
I do believe in that. They said he was going to be back in week four. If he can't play, Bernard Pierce is even higher on this week's rankings.
I got a little update here on my smartphone. It says Ravens Ray Rice participates in practice for second straight day.
Nice.
So that's good. So he's practicing, and that's a good sign. Le'Veon Bell, Steelers rookie, Bill, he's hoping to make his regular season debut. He says his foot feels fine, and he's going to make his debut across the pond.
Well, you know, the Steelers, they need some kind of spark on offense. Maybe the rookie from Michigan State can provide it for them because right now their running game is miserable.
Yes, it's not good. Here's perhaps the best news.
No, it's not good.
Here's perhaps the best news fantasy-wise that we're going to deal with here in this segment. Reggie Bush is practicing without any setbacks. He looks ready to go.
Reggie, get him out there. Right in my lineup.
Love it. MJD still dealing with ankle injury. Didn't practice but is expected to play. And Steven Jackson of the Falcons has been ruled out. No surprise there.
All right, moving over to wide receivers. Larry Fitzgerald from the Arizona Cardinals has been practicing all week, so that's certainly good news for him. He's been dealing with that hamstring injury. Andre Johnson of the Houston Texans still has a shin bruise, Todd, and apparently he's very sore. He's going to be a game-time decision this week. Vincent Jackson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not practicing because of a rib injury. Not sure what's going to affect him more. The rib injury or Mike Glennon under center? Roddy White of the Atlanta Falcons taking on the New England Patriots this Sunday night still has that high ankle sprain. Says he's getting better, but he's still not practicing. Patriot fans, don't be shocked when Roddy White trots out onto the field but is used as nothing more than a decoy this weekend. And then finally, Danny Amendola probably going to miss week four in Atlanta.
Hmm. Tight ends, Bill. Tonight's the big one. Well, two big tight end pieces of news, but Vernon Davis, game time decision tonight, Bill. Fantasy owners, I'm sure we're going to get a couple of questions on this. I know we've been getting lots of emails and tweets to ffchamps.com, Bill. What do you do? Because you got Vernon Davis on your roster. Do you start him tonight, or do you bench him and play whoever you have as your backup on Sunday?
You know, luckily, it's not a bad situation because you'll know if Davis is starting or not. They're going to obviously announce it before the game. And if he's playing, then you put him in. And if he's not, then you leave him out. I think okay. It's that cut and dry.
How about Rob Gronkowski? Remember that guy?
Who's that? have we seen him yet this year?
No,
he hasn't. The last time I saw Rob Gronkowski on the field, I believe, was in the playoffs against the Houston Texans.
That is correct.
Kevin, what's the latest? You give us the latest. We have our little update here, but we might as well get it from you. You're in the stadium.
Well, from what I've seen today on Twitter, I've been in the radio studio all day. Wait,
if you're going to report from Twitter, I could do the same thing, dude. We're going to you for some Patriots insight.
Well, I've been stuck in the radio studio all day. It's not like I was out of practice or anything.
Well, we're not going to toss it to you for an exclusive.
Toss it to me then.
We're not going to toss it to you for an exclusive, in-depth analysis, and then say, "Well, what I've been reading on Twitter."
Well, that's pretty much all I got. I mean, my gut is that he plays. I think they really need him this week. I think he could have possibly played last week. But they felt that, you know, why rush him back? I think we can get by without him. I think they really need him this week.
Do you think they need him this week more than any other?
Yeah, it's a non-conference game.
Just based off the quality of opponent and the fact that they're on the road in a hostile environment, I think they need as many weapons for Tom as possible, and I think that you'll see him play this week. Just my gut.
You think he'll play like a full game?
Yeah, I think you'll see him play a full game. I think it'll be... I bet he'll play 75% of the snaps if he plays.
Wow.
And that'll make Bill Enright the winner in the Gronkowski sweepstakes.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct, folks, because before the season started, sometime in mid-August, we all had a little bet going on when Rob Gronkowski would be back on the field. Todd, what did you say? You said pup list.
I guess week three. You were four.
And I guess week four.
Yeah,
Todd
and
said
then
week
Todd
six.
Was published. Yeah.
Well, closest without going over. So if he comes back week five,
you've got this.
I win.
No, closest without going over. Todd, we're playing Price of Right rules here.
I think
Price of Right.
Price
in
is right.
English, please.
Price is right. My bad. Price is right. Price is right. Closest without going over.
You
said
know
week
I don't
six.
Speak Spanish.
That's
in
right.
English, please.
You said week six.
Yeah, I'm going to go with – I think, Bill, I think you're going to nail the prediction here.
Well, as long as he comes back in week five, I'm good.
No, but I think honestly, I have a strong – I mean, I had a strong gut feeling in the middle of last week that he wasn't going to play, and now I have just as strong a feeling that he is going to play.
Hmm.
So.
Nostradamus, is he going to produce for fantasy owners, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, I think if he's on the field, you'll – I mean, you're going to see – I think you'll see a heavy amount of looks for him. I can't predict as to what he's gonna be. I haven't
over
seen...
or under four catches.
If he plays, I'll say over.
I'm gonna say over as well.
Yeah,
if he plays, he's involved.
Yeah, if he plays, he's involved, and I also think there's a very good chance he scores.
All right.
So that's just my gut.
Speaking of Rob Gronkowski, our phone number 855-478. Oh no, that's the wrong number. 855-728-7500 855-PATS-500. Kevin in Missouri has a question about Rob Gronkowski. What's up, Kev?
Yes, sir. I need to know whether to play Vernon Davis tonight or Gronkowski on Sunday.
Now, this is a sticky situation. Todd, what do you think there?
I don't know who to play.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we just heard from our Patriots insider, producer Kevin Collins, that Gronk's going to catch over four passes and score a touchdown. So I got to go with Kevin. Go with Gronk.
Now, if what about if Gronk doesn't play on Sunday? Then our friend Kevin here is screwed.
Goose egg.
Well, you can get some Jag tight end off the scrap heap.
Kevin, who's available on your waiver wire?
I don't know. I haven't looked yet.
There's another interesting thing to look at just while we have Kevin on the line here. That team plane leaves sometime tomorrow after. No, I think keep thinking today's Friday. It's not. Saturday afternoon, the team plane leaves, and usually you'll get tweets reporting whether or not the player made the trip. If he goes, yeah, he's playing.
That still doesn't help our friend Kevin here.
Well, it doesn't help him with Vernon, but if he wants to play somebody else on Sunday that he can pick up, I think he's going to play. I mean,
what about Roman Harper? Is he going to play this week?
I have no idea on that one.
Kevin, do you have anyone that you can drop on your fantasy team? Who can you drop if in case Gronk doesn't play and you don't go with Vernon Davis?
Not really anyone. I mean,
just take the zero. Just take the zero. What's the big deal? Yeah.
What's the big deal?
On our league, we're running defense and offense. So, I mean, it's kind of tight.
Listen, I don't know about Todd. I don't know what he's talking about. You take the zero. I've never heard of such a thing.
How? If you don't have anyone to drop, what are you going to drop, like Lamar Miller, to get some fourth-string tight end somewhere?
You drop Vernon Davis, and you hope you get someone back? You hope you get him back?
No. That's ridiculous. For one week?
You have Rob Gronkowski. Are you really risking that much?
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski can't stay healthy.
Neither can Vernon Davis.
Exactly.
I guess
Kevin,
I
you picked two... Oh, you can drop Eddie Lacy on a bye? No, I don't know if I'd do that.
I wouldn't do that.
You can only start one tight end?
Yeah, we got a tight end and a flex.
So you can start two, potentially.
Yeah.
So why not start in the flex, can you start a tight end there?
Yeah.
So why not put Vernon at tight end and then maybe use Gronk as your flex if he plays? What about that?
Because then if Vernon Davis doesn't play tonight, then he puts Gronk in, and what happens if Gronk doesn't play? He's still in the same position.
I think Gronk's going to play.
Do you think he will?
I will stake my reputation that Gronk plays.
Yeah, I do think Gronk plays.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and play. I think I'm going to go ahead and play Gronk for Sunday then.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, there you go, Kevin. Best of luck to you. Appreciate the phone call. Again, 855-728-7500 is the phone number. You can email us your questions, or if you want to chime in about our Thursday night football debate, webradio@patriots.com is our email address, and Kevin will be sending us over some emails in just a little bit here. As we're getting started on Football Nation, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Falcons and the Patriots, big-time fantasy football implications on Sunday Night Football. We'll preview that game coming up next.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance.
You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Life is good when you're a Patriots fan.
Woo-wee!
It's even better when they're winning.
Brady, back to throw. Looks, fires, caught, touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
It's time for Bill and Todd to break down the Pats on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Patriots.com Radio Football Nation. Moving along here as we're getting into the Sunday night football game. New England Patriots versus the Atlanta Falcons. Gentlemen, both of you guys had the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I had the Falcons in the Super Bowl. So, according to our worlds, this is a preview of this upcoming Super Bowl.
That's a lie. I did not have the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
You didn't?
The Denver Broncos.
Oh, you were with me. You were with me. You were with me in the AFC, in the AFC, but you were with Todd in the NFC. You picked the Seahawks, right?
No, I picked the 49ers, unfortunately.
Oh.
Hey, they're not dead yet.
Hey, well, I picked the Falcons, so they have the same record.
Yeah, there you go. At least I'm honest.
Todd, you know, he's sitting mighty because it's September and he thinks his picks are like.
Yeah, there's
right
no
point.
September ring here.
That's
no
what
September
I said earlier.
Trophy.
That's right.
I'm 6-0, baby. Can't wait to see your Falcons drop to 1-3, Bill.
Whatever. Even if they lose this weekend, doesn't mean they're out. NFC looks like it's wide open to me. It could be anyone's game.
I think the whole league is wide open.
The NFC is wide open?
The whole league is.
I totally disagree with that.
I don't think Seattle's
other than the Seahawks, name three dominant.
That's the problem. That's the issue. The Seahawks are going to get home field advantage. No one's beating them up there.
Wait for them to lose some games on the road. It's coming.
They're going to have to lose. They're going to have to go 4-4 on the road to lose home field advantage in the NFC.
The Saints could take away overall home field.
They won't. It'll be the Seahawks.
Just saying.
Barring injury, Seahawks.
All right.
At
anyway,
last check, the Saints were 3-0 as well.
They are. That's true.
We'll do our power rankings at the end of the show. I want to get to this Patriots Falcons game because in the world of fantasy football, you got a lot of playmakers going on Sunday night. And Todd, why do we love the Sunday night games?
Why do we love the Sunday night games?
Yeah, Sunday and Monday night games.
Because they're better than the Thursday night games.
Because it gives us some action late at night for our fantasy team.
Of course. Yeah. Actually, though, Bill, I can play a little Debbie Downer here. I mean, if you would have told me, you know, preseason, Patriots, Falcons, I mean, the fantasy juice that would have been involved in that game would have been off the charts. Now we got Steven Jackson out, Steven Ridley, MIA, right? Mm-hmm. Roddy White, barely playing. Gonzo, disappeared. Gronk, maybe play, hasn't played all year. You know, it's kind of been a little bit of a downer for these two teams fantasy-wise so far.
I think is it more of a downer, or is it just players that you wouldn't expect?
Downer.
All right, well, let's get to it. Tom Brady and Matt Ryan are both inside our top 10 for obvious reasons. We have Brady at number 2 on the FFCPI, and we have Matt Ryan at number 6 this week.
Okay.
Now, in terms of, you know, defensive points allowed, both of these teams are actually shutting down opposing quarterbacks. Patriots, being the best in the league, have given up the least amount of fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. What do you think of that? Pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive. You got to include the quarterbacks they've played.
Exactly. They've played Geno Smith and Josh Freeman. And Josh Freeman.
Benched.
And who did they play in week one?
EJ Manuel, rookie.
Right, EJ Manuel.
Rookie benched.
All right. So take that for what it is. I still think.
Hey, Matt Ryan's been consistent. I mean, he has 909 yards, 6 touchdown passes. Peyton Manning threw 7 in the first game, by the way. So Matt Ryan has been consistent week to week, Bill, 2 touchdowns every week, but he hasn't, like, blown up yet.
Now, I'm not good at math, so I don't know what the breakdown per game is, but I know the Falcons have given up 7 passing touchdowns in their first 3 games.
That's good. That's encouraging.
It's great for Tom Brady, it is.
For Tom Brady, right. You know, I guess my point is this. I mean, I don't really want to rag on Brady and Ryan. I mean, they've been okay fantasy-wise, nothing great. But combined, they have less touchdown passes than Peyton Manning.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. You're expecting fireworks on Sunday night, or are you expecting a down low,
I am.
Dirty
game? I'm expecting – I guess that was where I was going with this. I think it comes together, and I think we actually get a highly competitive fantasy showdown. I think you're going to get some points in this game.
34, 31, something like that?
High 20s.
High 20s? All right. I'll live with that. I can live with that.
Yeah.
Running backs. Now, you mentioned Steven Jackson is out, but that has opened the door for Jason Snelling and Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yep.
We have Snelling at 35, Quiz at 34. Both of them did a really good job filling in for S. Jacks last weekend against the Dolphins.
I think he got Snelling ranked a little too low there. I think he needs to be higher up.
Where do you think he should go?
Ahead of, like, Daniel Thomas and the law firm. I'd put him above those guys. I'd put him above Ryan. I'd put him, like, 25, 26.
Really?
Yeah.
25 or 26 for Jason Snelling this weekend.
Yeah.
Hmm,
I'd put him in the Ahmad Bradshaw range.
The Patriots have given up 1 rushing touchdown all season long.
I don't care.
You don't care. Todd don't care.
No, I think Snelling will be fine. He'll, you know, he's going to get you somewhere between 70 and 90 yards and, you know, maybe a touchdown, maybe not.
And you don't think that Jaquizz Rodgers factors in at all?
Yeah, he factors in too. I think you have Rodgers, I think you have him right where he needs to be, in the low 30s there.
Interesting. All right, how about Stephen Ridley? Big letdown thus far. Does he come alive this week? I have him ranked at 23.
I don't have an answer on this one. I'm an opinionated guy, Bill. I can't figure out what's going on with this guy.
Kevin, what do you think about Stephen Ridley so far? What's going on there?
I'm frustrated because I have him in one of my leagues, and I played him all 3 weeks, but I think this is the week I finally bench him.
He's on the bench this week.
Yeah, I've had enough. I think with what I saw from Brandon Bolden last week and the amount of, you know, he only got 3 carries, but he made the most of them. I think he had 51 yards on 3 carries, caught a lot of balls out of the backfield. I think he showed enough to earn a little bit more work, and I think with that combined with the, you know, say what you will about LeGarrette Blount, but he hasn't put the ball on the ground this year, and when the Patriots were ahead last week, and looking to salt the game away on the ground, he saw all of the work, all of the carries. So
yeah, because why overwork Stephen Ridley?
Also, why give a guy who can't hold on the ball, you know, why give him the rock when you're trying to milk the clock? So I don't know. He's going to be sitting on my bench this week.
Why give him the rock when you're trying to milk the clock? I like that.
There you go. Guy can't hang on to the ball.
Brandon Bolden was a pretty big pickup this week.
I wish I could have got to him, but I was too low in the priority.
See, if you're in a PPR league, I suggested that Brandon Bolden be one of your top pickups.
I am in a PPR league where I have Ridley, and I just couldn't get to him.
Ridley and Blount can't catch the football, but
watch,
we saw Bolden.
And you watch, guys. I'm going to bench Ridley, and he's going to go off. But
see,
that's what I've been afraid of for the last 2 weeks. After that stinker in Buffalo, I kept thinking I'm going to stick with him.
At what point do you put your fears aside? That's the question.
I don't know. I've had enough. I think he's had 2 points, 3 points and 4 points or something like that. I'm sick of it.
Mm, very interesting.
It kills me, Bill. It kills me.
Yeah, listen, I don't blame you. Stephen Ridley was my top 10 running back on my rankings.
And I want him to do well. I think he's a good guy. I think he works hard. I think he's got a lot of potential. But, I mean, I can't stick with him. I mean, I've got lucky and survived the basically goose eggs that he's
Who are you putting in over him?
I'm going to go with Sproles.
In a PPR league?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have been doing that all along.
Going to go with Sproles.
All right, let's move over to wide receivers. Julio Jones, not Calvin Johnson, not Dez Bryant, not A.J. Green, but Julio Jones is the number one wide receiver in fantasy football through the first 3 weeks of the season. We have him at number 6 this week on our rankings at ffchamps.com. Julian Edelman, even better if you're in a PPR league. He's at number 17. We got Kembrell Tompkins in at number 26. The decoy, Roddy White. We have him at 38, and then Aaron Dobson comes in at number 46. Moving over to tight ends, we got Tony Gonzalez at number 4, and Rob Gronkowski, even though he's only questionable at this point, we're leaving him at number 5.
Yeah. Let's hope Kevin's right, and then he plays and plays well. I do agree with you guys that if he plays, that he's going to be heavily involved. I don't think that they would, why test him out, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
They do have a big game coming up next week against the Bengals, I believe, which is a much bigger game in my view than this Falcons game for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an AFC showdown. But if they're going to play him, he's going to be heavily involved. So I might actually – I'll ask you this, Bill. If Gronk is confirmed he's going to play, if we confirm he's on that airplane on Saturday mm-hmm. afternoon, mm-hmm. you moving Gronk up on the FFCPI here on FFChamps.com?
He's at 4 right now. I mean, I don't know how.
No, he's
tired.
At 5.
See,
I'd move him ahead of Gonzo in a heartbeat.
I actually just moved Gonzo down. I put Gonzo at 8. I have Gronkowski at 4. I'm not putting him above Julius Thomas. Not putting him above Jason Witten. Not putting him above Jimmy Graham. But, I mean, how many players out there in Fantasyland really have Witten, Thomas, Graham, and Gronkowski? You probably have someone like maybe like an Owen Daniels or Brandon Myers and Gronk.
Well, you'd be surprised how many people have Orange Julius and Gronk.
Yeah, I guess Orange Julius might be one of them because he was a hot waiver wire pickup week one.
Orange Julius, Cameron, those kind of guys, they might have Gronk.
That's probably true.
But you're right with Jimmy Graham and Witten and Gonzo. None of them are going to have Gronk.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So what do you think? I mean, you think it's going to be high scoring? You think it's going to, live up to the billing or what?
It damn well better. Because I'll tell you what, Sunday Night Football has been, what did we get last week? The Broncos and the Raiders? No. The Steelers and the Bears was last Sunday night, right? Yeah, that game sucked. I mean, who wants to watch Jay Cutler and Ben Roethlisberger? I like watching high-flying, offensive scoring, big-time wide receivers, big arm quarterbacks, hard running backs, freakishly athletic tight ends with no defenses. With no defenses. That's what I like to watch. And that's what I'm hoping to get on Sunday night. Football night in America.
Week one, we had Dallas and the Giants.
That game was exciting.
It was pretty exciting. A lot of turnovers, a lot of big plays.
Yeah.
36-31. Then we had Seattle crushing the Niners 29-3.
Boring.
And then we had Chicago over the Steelers 40-23. And if it wasn't for that roughing the punter penalty, that game would have been over in the first half. Like, really
yeah,
over.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, so that's what you got so far. I think this will be a good one. I think it's going to be a good game. And I think it'll please fantasy owners. The only guy I have no clue on is Ridley. I have no idea what to tell you about him.
You know, people are starting to get a little upset with Stephen Ridley. We still have him in the top 25 this week, only because the running backs as a whole, the position, they haven't really separated themselves. The cream has not risen to the top yet.
By the way, off subject, I'm looking at the next 3 Sunday night matchups.
What are they?
They're outstanding.
Oh, thank God you were going to say that.
If you
were going to say bad, I would have said awful. I would have really
Houston,
had a tantrum.
Houston at San Fran.
All right.
I like it. Washington-Dallas. Washington-Dallas.
I like that.
Denver at Indianapolis.
Why do I feel like Denver is on prime time every single week?
I don't know.
Am I the only one that thinks that?
Because they're the best team in football.
Yeah, but before the season, I mean, all the schedule happened before the season, Kev.
Yeah. I had a pretty good idea they were going to be the best team in football, which is why I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl.
I did the same thing, but I'm just saying, like, they are on prime time every other week.
They deserve to be. They're fun to watch.
Peyton Manning, dude.
I mean, whenever they're on, I'm glued in, man.
Bill, will you be reading the Book of Manning tonight, Bill?
It's like a video game watching them.
I thought it was a documentary.
It's really good. I watched it. It's outstanding if you get a chance.
I've had enough of the Mannings. I will not be watching
that. But I'm serious. I don't like them either, but it's really well done. And if you have some time to sit down and you can forward through the commercials, I highly recommend it.
I did watch it, but Todd, what are you talking about reading?
I was kidding. Play on words. Book of Manning.
He's not that smart, Bill. He's not intelligent like us, you know?
Oh. Wait, Todd isn't or I'm not?
No. Todd isn't.
Okay.
He's not on our level, our intellectual level.
No, he's not. Todd has an IQ.
He's not. That's why we didn't invite him to our book club, you know? He's on the outside looking in.
Or the Follically Challenge Club.
Yeah, there you go.
Todd has an IQ.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Has an IQ similar of a chimpanzee.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
No, for everything,
I have nothing
from
to
what,
say.
Everything what I gathered, Todd is pretty smart.
Quick prediction going back to what you were saying about Ridley, just before we get off the topic.
Yeah.
I predict that if you see the Patriots with a situation, let's say, like, inside the 3-yard line, first and goal inside the 3, something like that. Second goal from the 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to run it in.
They're going to bring in Manamui?
No, I bet you see Blount get the carries.
Like, that would drive me crazy. I literally stand up and from my seat and I sit and I scream.
I'm just
that
saying,
helps
that's,
nobody.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just making that prediction right now that if the Patriots are in a situation on the goal line on Sunday night and they're in a position to try to run the ball in, from close, I think you're going to see Blount instead of Ridley.
And that's why I'm not playing him. Hopefully you see Bolden, because that's who I'm running with this weekend.
Running with the Boldens.
After my Shane Vereen depression finally wear it off, I decided to pick up Brandon Bolden, because I guess he's going to take on that role, even though he's not going to do as good of a job, but I think the Patriots are going to try to use him similar to what they would have done with Vereen. No, you guys not with me on that one?
Bolden?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
No, he's absolutely
six targets, five catches.
He's absolutely what Vereen, or they're going to use him in the same way. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just don't know if he's going to be as productive as Vereen.
So
far, so good is absolutely right.
You know, given the touches he got, he absolutely maximized his touches.
Yeah, he did. Let's take a caller. 855-728-7500. We have BJ in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What's up, BJ?
How's it going, guys?
Going great, man. What do you got for us?
I had a question about my tight end position. I rode the Sudfeld train during the preseason, and I ended up with nobody in one of my leagues. And Gronk
that train
in
crashed.
One of my other leagues. So I have Kobe Fleener in both leagues. How do you feel about him this week and going forward?
Love Kobe Fleener. As soon as Dwayne Allen went out with the hip injury for the season, I instantly moved up Kobe Fleener on our rest of the way rankings. Right now, I believe he's inside the top 10. We have Fleener at number. I don't know. I don't see him right now. Where the heck is Fleener?
13 rest of the way.
Yeah, 13 rest of the way, and that was only because Martellus Bennett has been playing really good. But I can certainly see Fleener finishing inside the top 10.
Appreciate it, guys.
And as far as this weekend, I mean, he's playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can't ask for a better matchup.
Exactly. But do you think it'll be good for the rest of the season like that?
Andrew Luck loves passing to his tight end. Their chemistry goes back to his days at Stanford. I think the power running game with Trent Richardson and Ahmad Bradshaw fits into what a tight end can bring to the table when they do decide to pass. Todd, you with me on that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that Kobe Fleener is going to get stronger as the year goes on. So I think you're in a decent position there considering you put all your eggs in the Sudfeld basket. And
what a terrible idea that was.
Came up empty.
I think this
is a pretty good with the injury to Dwayne Allen, that opens Kobe Fleener up as the premier tight end in that offense. And like Bill said, with Trent Richardson, you know, the beautiful addition to the offense, I think it helps everybody's fantasy value. So Kobe Fleener should be fine the rest of the way. Just like Bill said, he's probably, you know, top 11, 12, 13 tight end the rest of the way.
great. I appreciate it. I got Gronk in one of the leagues, so I should be all right if he comes back this week.
So what are you going to do? You can play Gronk or you can play Fleener?
I guess that decision is going to have to come Sunday morning, huh? Or Sunday afternoon.
Well, just keep in mind that the Seattle Seahawks did give up 112 yards and two touchdowns to opposing tight ends last weekend.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm sorry. The Jacksonville Jaguars gave up two touchdowns and 112 yards against the Seahawks. The Seahawks had 112 yards and two touchdowns.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my bad.
If Gronkowski is slated to play, you guys think I still start Fleener?
No. Go Gronk.
Go Gronk, baby.
Gronk's playing, you're going Gronk, and Fleener rides the pine.
Patiently waiting for this moment for Rob Gronkowski to come back. You have to have him in your lineup.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought you were trying to tell me otherwise.
No. I'm just saying, don't be worried if Gronk's not playing, because Fleener should still have a pretty good game.
Plug and play,
baby. That's the name of the game.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care, BJ. Appreciate the call.
Sudfeld.
I don't know what happened there, dude. I mean, after that hamstring injury, he kind of just fell off in a major way. He looked phenomenal in the preseason.
Yeah.
People were calling him Baby Gronk.
Yeah. Do you get to return your Sudfeld jersey if you bought one? Bill?
I don't know. Probably right next to your Tim Tebow jersey.
Tim Tebow. Hey, how did we do on that bet, by the way?
You guys won that one. Yeah. I failed miserably.
Yeah.
Kevin, how do you not have this audio ready? Like, as soon as Tim Tebow should have got cut, you should have been blasting me.
I was just so convinced I was right. I don't know. I just didn't care.
Yeah, Bill, you were really convinced he was going to, like,
be a
difference maker. We were
just off the reservation on that one.
I really thought he was going to make the team and have an impact.
Where is Tebow right now?
I believe he's on the moon, hanging out. Private little convention he's got going
on. He's up there with Harry Carey eating some cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't understand that reference.
If the moon was made out of cheese, would you eat it?
I've never seen that Will Ferrell SNL skit. I've seen it.
He's awesome.
If the moon was made out of spare ribs, would you eat it?
Oh, is that when he has like all the chest hair all out and he's kind of like a hippie dude?
No.
He's Harry Carey. It's great.
Bill doesn't know who Harry Carey is. He doesn't watch baseball.
Oh my God. Who's Harry Carey?
One of the greatest baseball announcers of all time.
Oh, not in my world. Unless you're talking Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, John Madden, Pat Summerall, Ian Eagle, Phil Simms. I don't know who anyone else. I don't know any baseball announcers. All I know is that where I am, the guy for the Yankees, what's his name? Do you know? Shepard?
No. It's like Sterling or him and Walt.
Yeah, John Sterling.
They're John Sterling.
They're terrible.
He is so bad. I swear it's like a pop-up grounder. He's like, this one is going.
They're awful.
It's going. Oh, and it's caught.
Do you know, Kevin, I grew up partially in the Midwest, and on our cable system, we got all the Cubs games. Just that Sunday game. It's like back in the early 80s.
WGN or whatever.
Exactly. It was like one of those channels or whatever. And so we got all Harry Carey's games. He was so drunk half the time. It was hilarious.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
He was wasted on air?
He was sponsored by Budweiser.
Come on. He was sponsored by Budweiser? Like him as a person?
You got to Google the Will Ferrell skits on Harry Carey. It was unbelievable. But the best one, Kevin, of all time was... They had Bill Murray come in and do a game with Harry Carey. They called a game. This is when Bill Murray was like in his heyday, you know. It was tremendous. Tremendous game to watch. I don't have no idea who won the game or whatever, but Bill Murray was just going nuts.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. And welcome to Space the Infinite Frontier.
That gives you an idea of what he sounded like.
Wait, but what's have to do with Space the Infinite Frontier?
This is from SNL.
So he didn't have anything to do with space. He was a baseball announcer.
He was, but it's just the way he spoke they were making fun of.
Okay. Let's do this. Let me take a break. I'm going to look up these YouTube clips so I can find out what the hell you guys are talking about. When we come back, Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts is going to join us. We'll also be taking your sit and start questions, webradio@patriots.com. You can also dial us 855-728-7500. More Football Nation on patriots.com radio coming up next.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, now, Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Hey, welcome back to Football Nation. You just heard the clip of Saturday Night Live, Will Ferrell's Harry Carey impression. Now, I must admit, before 5 minutes ago, I had no idea who Harry Carey was, but I'm sure glad that our producer Kevin and my co-host Todd filled me in, because I was rolling on the floor laughing, as they say. What is that? R-O-T-F-L? Yeah, something like that. Because Will Ferrell, he's like a comedic genius. I just love him. Can't get enough.
Well, Bill, you know, it's always an education with you, trying to get you caught up with the times. I know you're a young pup.
I like to learn something new every day.
But it begs the question, Bill. If the moon was indeed made of spare ribs, would you eat it?
I'd have to get there first.
I'm just saying, would you be interested in a giant planet made of spare ribs?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't even like spare ribs, so it doesn't apply to me.
You don't like spare ribs?
No, I'm not a fan. I don't know why. I've tried to get into them, but I just can't do it.
How about you, Bill?
I love ribs.
Love you ever it. Been out to like Tennessee and Kansas City? Those places where like they melt off the bone, they just fall right off the bone.
When we went on the road trip to New Orleans.
Road
this
trip
year,
from hell.
We stopped in New Orleans. No, it was awesome. We stopped in Tennessee and we did have ribs.
Yep. You weren't saying that before you left.
Well, that's
you
because
you were shaking me, begging me, please, just go with them. Don't let them take me.
I didn't realize that I'd be meeting a Super Bowl swimsuit model. I'd hang out with
true.
Miss America.
That's true.
Sponsored by Sam Adams. I mean, after all, it was a very big trip. But I don't like traveling. I wasn't worried about the trip itself. I just don't like traveling. I get a lot of
anxiety.
You know what I do like is a good,
speaking of barbecue, I like a good pulled pork.
Mm. Love pulled pork.
I like pulled pork. I can get on board with that. If the moon was made out of pulled pork, I'd be all over it.
I actually think I had a pulled pork sandwich up there at Gillette. What's that restaurant we went to, Todd, when I walked in the woman's bathroom by accident?
Oh, boy. Toby Keith's, maybe?
Yeah, Toby Keith's.
Yeah,
it was Toby Keith's. I walked in. I was like, why are there no urinals in here? So weird. And I went in a stall.
Who goes in a stall and sits down?
No, I went in a stall. I did what I had to do. I came out.
He went
and, like, the
sink.
Waitress is looking at me. She's like, I was like, oh. I looked around at the door, and I saw a woman's only. But, yeah, it was that Toby Keith. Good pulled pork there.
Well played, Bill. Well played.
There you go.
Only you could get away with that.
That is probably true.
I'd probably be in handcuffs.
I flash those dimples. I give them a nice smile, and it's all good.
And they feel bad for you because you're bald, and then they just...
As long as that's all you're flashing.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, now.
What do you say we get into some emails while
please,
we're waiting for our friend Kerry Byrne, coldheartedfootballfacts.com?
With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
What is that? I've never heard that
another
clip before.
Another SNL for Brett Favre.
Play that one again. Play it again.
While it zippers and buttons slow you down. With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
That's pretty funny.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
That's pretty good. How about Brett Favre's agent saying that he's in the best shape of his life?
Balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it.
Good Lord.
I could go for days.
I'm sure you could. We might just have to do a show of just like the we have a countdown of the best clips you have.
I'll tell you what, that agent for Brett Favre needs to go away.
Man, it was some tight pants you got on.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
The agent
needs
to go away.
Play out.
Why does the agent need to go away, Todd?
Just Brett, just go away. What is he talking about? He's got. I mean, how many comebacks? What is he talking about?
He's trying to.
Why is it news? Why is it news?
Because you know, it's Brett Favre.
If an agent just says the word Tim Tebow or Brett Favre, it's instantly news on every website.
You know, Brett Favre. Brett Favre's 44 years old now, I think, right? 44?
Yep.
And his agent says he's in the best shape of his life. Meanwhile, Terrell Owens is only like 38. We know he's in phenomenal shape, and he can't get a job anywhere. But yeah, Brett Favre makes a ridiculous statement, or his agent makes a ridiculous statement, and all of a sudden everyone's talking about it.
While it zippers and buttons slow you down. With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
What does he say? And camera ready?
Camera ready, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
Oh, jeez.
And that's actually Jason Sudeikis, who does a lot of movies and, you know, kind of found his way on SNL. He did a really good job with that.
I love Jason. He's funny. Funny dude.
Jeez. All right, emails, Bill, please.
Mail time. Email from Robert P. Hey, guys, it's Rob from Stony Creek, Ontario. Who do I start in week 4, Eli Manning or Sam Bradford?
Eli.
Heath Miller or Kobe Fleener? I kind of like Heath.
Mm.
The Browns giving up the most points to opposing tight ends.
I'll go Heath.
Yeah. My running backs are Peterson, Lynch, and Chris Johnson. Do I trade Lynch or Peterson for an upgrade at quarterback? No way. He's 3-0 to start the season. Why would you try to trade if you're 3-0?
No.
All right. Let's find Kevin's next email. Hey, guys. This is from Sven in Germany, our good friend Sven. We got the sound clip for that?
It was too long.
All right. Hey, guys. You're so lazy. Hey, guys. I already wrote you on Tuesday, but probably didn't make myself clear. Sorry for that. I'm playing in a 12-team non-PPR league and have three open roster spots at running back, wide receiver, and flex. Here are my available players. Steven Ridley, Le'Veon Bell, Monte Ball, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and Cecil Shorts. Well, we can rule out Amendola because we don't think he's going to play. It's a non-PPR league, so I'm also ruling out Julian Edelman.
Okay.
I don't like Monte Ball, so I'm taking him out.
How many are we choosing here?
All right, we need a running back, a flex, and a wide receiver. Shorts is in at wide receiver.
So now we need a flex and a running back?
I'm putting in Steven Ridley, and I'm putting in Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, Ridley and Bell.
All right, thanks
not,
a lot.
Not thrilled with it, but that's the best you got.
He says, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. You guys are great. Thank you very much, Sven. All right, next email is from Mike. Hey, guys.
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff Ices? Hoo-yah!
There it is. I love that clip.
It's just long.
It's not that long. You just played four Brett Favre clips that were a lot longer.
Those are funny, though. This one's getting overplayed.
Well, as long as we have people from Germany and Denmark and Copenhagen.
I'm going to come up with some other stuff for Germany.
Well, that's on you, dude.
No, it's on me. You're right. It's on me.
All right. Next email, Mike. Hey, guys, just wanted to let you know because of your advice, I'm 3-0 in both leagues.
Yeah, boy.
And I'm the only unbeaten team left in either league. Love hearing that, Mike. Congratulations. I have a flex option for you guys to keep things going in the right direction. 10-team PPR league. His choices are Josh Gordon, Bernard Pierce, T.Y. Hilton, or that bum, Rashard Mendenhall.
Gordon.
That was an editorial, by the way. I added that bum.
Rashard you added the bum?
Yeah, he didn't write
it. It's that. PPR. I'm going Gordon.
Even if Ray Rice doesn't play, you're going to...
Ray Rice is going to play.
All right. We're just going to...
All right. If Ray Rice doesn't play, I'm going Bernard Pierce. I think Ray Rice is going to play. Therefore, I'm going Josh Gordon.
For the sake of the show, let's agree to say that Ray Rice is going to play this week.
I think he's going to try to play. I don't know what his workload is going to be, but I think he's going to be on the field.
I agree. I'm going with Josh Gordon as well. Next email is from Mike W. Hey, guys. Thanks for the advice. Last week, I won my match. Have a few questions for you. Standard scoring league. Marquise Colston, Mike Wallace, or Brian Hartline. I don't know how many he needs.
Colston.
Yeah, I'm down with Colston, too. Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline, why do you have both of the Dolphins receivers? That's kind of intriguing. Then he says, and Bernard Pierce, not an editorial, by the way, and Bernard Pierce or Steven Ridley.
Oh, jeez. Well, again, if Rice is out, it's Pierce, no-brainer. I might go Pierce either way.
I think I'm going to go Pierce because he's playing against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens kind of slow Ray Rice back in that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it best for Ray Rice owners, I think it best it's a 50-50 for him.
Yeah, right.
Which means Ridley gets the other 50. So Pierce gets the other 50. So I'm going to go Pierce there.
Orange Julius or Antonio Gates?
Julius.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, how can you not play one of the Denver players?
Against the Eagles, please.
Totally. Our friend Keegan from Texas, a couple quick questions for you guys. Need a wide receiver 2 and a flex from the following group. He's in a 12-team standard scoring league. Mike Wallace, Isaiah Pete in action tonight.
No. Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Isaiah Pete in action tonight. Julian Edelman, Kembrell Tompkins. Todd, what would I do without you?
Tompkins is in.
Okay. He needs a flex. I'm not liking Isaiah Pete.
Neither am I.
You're playing Tompkins over Edelman?
Not
standard,
PPR, right?
Standard scoring. Mike Williams with Mike Glennon? I mean, I don't know what to expect from him. Isaiah Pede might not be that bad if Darrell Richardson doesn't play tonight.
A lot of ifs.
I know. It's bad.
I'm going Mike Williams and Tompkins. I'm not thrilled about it. That's what I'm going. I think they both have the chance. They're going to be boom busts. I'm hoping one of them booms for him.
I kind of like Isaiah Pede over Mike Williams, but I agree with you on Kembrell Tompkins. Also, he needs to figure out his tight end situation. Vernon Davis tonight or Charles Clay Monday night?
Very simple, Keegan. Be in front of your TV half hour before the game and get the television coverage will tell you if Vern's going to play. And if he's going to play and he looks like he's not going to be limping around, play Vern. If he's not playing, then your decision is made for you.
Next email is from Chris. He says, hey, champs, wondering who I should start at running back this week. Non-PPR, my choices are Knowshon Moreno, Chris Johnson, Ben Jarvis Greenells, and Bilal Powell. I can start two of them.
Johnson and Powell.
Does he play Ben Jarvis Greenells or Knowshon Moreno in the flex over Antonio Gates?
Ooh. That's a tough one. Probably. Yes, I would. Is it standard scoring? Yes, non-PPR.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going Gates in the flex. I'm going to go Marino, Green, Ellis. Broncos are going to score 40-plus on the Eagles, man. Just a matter of who's scoring the touchdowns.
Moreno or Green Ellis. Now, what happens if Moreno loses his stupid rocks, paper, scissors battle again, Todd?
Oh, jeez. What the hell's going on there? Seriously.
Listen, we said it in the beginning of the year. We didn't like Monte Ball because he was a fifth-round ADP, and we thought that was absurd, which it is.
Well, Hold on. We didn't like his fantasy draft value in the fifth round.
Right.
I just want to make sure that's clear. I liked Monte Ball as the guy that might wind up being their starting running back by the end of the year. I just didn't want to pay a fifth-round price for him.
Good clarification.
Okay.
We liked Ronnie Hillman because of his
ADP. Draft value.
Right. His draft value was somewhere in the 14th round.
Right.
And Noshon Moreno, kind of a similar situation. We saw Moreno get all of the action weeks one, weeks two. Kind of changed week three. Hillman was much more explosive, averaged over 6 yards per carry. Moreno was just more of a plotter that didn't really burst through the hole at all. But the thing that Moreno still does better than Monte Ball, and he still does it better than Ronnie Hillman, and that's pass protect. Picking up the blitz is the most important thing that a running back can do right now for the Denver Broncos.
Well, so let's help Chris out here. What are we doing? Are we telling him to play Moreno or the law firm in the flex?
I'm going to go with Moreno over Antonio Gates.
Okay. There's certainly upside with Moreno, Bill. I mean, again, is it fair to say that the Broncos are probably going to score six or more touchdowns against the Eagles? Seriously. Touchdowns?
I have them at five.
Five touchdowns?
Yeah.
See, I have Peyton passing for five.
All right.
And I think they're going to get one or two rushing. So, or maybe one, like, Trendon Holiday return or something.
Eagles defense is that bad, huh?
They're horrible.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
They're the worst. It's at Mile High. It's going to be a disaster. I'll go Moreno.
You're going to stick with Moreno. All right.
Yeah, I'll go with them. In this situation, I'd go with them because your options are not great.
Very interesting. I do have some tweets to get to here. You can hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps. You can follow Todd at CFFGeek, and I am at Bill Enright. Nathan Iverson hits us up on Twitter at FFChamps. PPR League, Todd. Julian Edelman or Mike Wallace?
Edelman.
Julian Edelman in the PPR League. I can't understand why anyone wouldn't just automatically put him
in
the
math
lineup.
It's all about math, Bill. I mean, Edelman, yeah, he's not going to, he's probably not going to have over 100 yards or 150 yards receiving, but who cares if he catches 8 or 9 balls?
At Dwayne Walker asks, PPR League, he needs a flex option for week 4. Eddie Royale with cheese, Ryan Broyles, CJ Spiller, Brandon Bolden, or Colby Fleener.
Is it PPR?
Yeah, full point.
Only one of those guys?
Yeah.
All right, Fleener, he said?
Fleener,
Fleener's out. Royale's out.
Yeah.
Broyles is out. It's Spiller or Bolden?
To me, same thing. I'm kind of leaning toward Bolden here. CJ Spiller, major letdown so far. And he's hurt. And he's playing against the Ravens.
It's not PPR?
No, it's full point PPR.
Oh, Bolden. Okay.
Yeah, go with Bolden.
I thought it was the other way around. Okay, right, I'm going Bolden.
We're going to jump back to your fantasy football questions in just a bit, but it is time to go to our friend Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the Cold Hard Football Facts right here on Football Nation.
Kerry Byrne, what's going on, my man? How's it going today?
Doing right. How you doing?
We're doing great, Kerry, and we always love bringing you on because you have the quality stats at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. They're always a lot of fun to pick apart the teams. What do you say we look ahead to the Sunday night matchup with the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots? The Patriots, 3-0 for a reason. They're one of the smartest teams in the NFL. Where do the Falcons rank on your intelligence index?
Well, you know the key to our intelligence index, it tells us who plays most effectively, Bill, is, in situational football, right? Which team does all the little things that win and lose NFL games that don't always show up in the stat sheet or in the box score or in fantasy football, but certainly impact the score. And the Patriots, right now, number 4 in that indicator. Only 3 teams are smarter right now at playing situational football through 3 games. The Patriots, historically, very good in that indicator. That's why we know they're a well-coached team. Atlanta right now, guys, were very good last year. They're number 19 right now You know, bottom half, one of the more inefficient teams in football. One of the they're not quite at the level where we'd call them dumb, but you know, they're not a smart team right now. Let's put it that way. And you know, that is an advantage for the Patriots, because smart teams, Bill, what we found is that smart teams habitually beat dumb teams, even if we think the dumb team, if you will, is smarter, has more. I mean, is more talented, or has a better offense, or a better quarterback. It's those smart teams that win NFL football games.
Based on this intelligence index, Kerry, which three games this weekend are the biggest mismatches in terms of smartest teams going up against the dumbest teams?
That's the great thing that I think makes the what we call the intelligence index unique. We look at what we call mental mismatches, Bill. We look when smart teams are playing dumb teams, okay? And right now, our mental mismatches, we couldn't do one in week one because we needed the new round of data, but we had one mental mismatch in week two. We had three mental mismatches in week four. In week three. And right now, those mental mismatches are 4-0 straight up and against the spread, by the way. Not only that, our three mental mismatches last week were the three biggest blowouts of week three. Seattle big over the Jaguars, Carolina big over the Giants, and Dallas big over the Rams. Those were our three mental mismatches of week three, and they came through with flying colors. We have three more mental mismatches this week. I don't want to give away all of them, Bill. I hope that's okay, because we provide these mental mismatches, these winning picks for our insiders at CodeHardFootballFacts.com, our premium product. But I'll give you one that I'm
all right. That's fair.
That I think is the best one this week. Is Seattle at Houston? Seattle, the smartest team in football right now. Not only are they physically good, not only are they talented on defense, not only do they have a bright young quarterback, they're the smartest, most efficient, most well-coached team in football. Number one on the intelligence index. And the Texans are number 29.
Ooh, wow.
They're playing stupid football right now, guys.
Texans, 29th in the intelligence index.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Todd, why that surprises me is because they've been pretty good in that indicator. Not elite,
yeah,
but pretty good. Last year they were about 10 or 12. They weren't, like I said, not elite. This year what's killing them is their defensive efficiency. They're the most inefficient defense in football. They're giving up a lot of cheap points. And the way we measure this is yards per point allowed. Opponents need just 9 yards to score the equivalent of a point. So, you know, do that, you know, multiply that by seven to figure out the total yardage. You know, their opponents need, I can't even do the math all of a sudden, 72 yards of offense to score the equivalent of a touchdown.
Oh,
whereas Seattle forces opponents about 26 yards. Seattle's opponents need almost 200 yards of offense to score a touchdown.
Wow.
Houston's opponents need just about, like I said, about 70-something yards of offense. So it shows you what that means on the football field, where opponents have to either work very hard for points or don't have to work hard for points at all. So that's a huge mismatch in Seattle's favor, and one reason I think they can, win big even on the road this week.
Hmm. I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've been dissecting this or not on your site, Kerry, not to get off the subject too much, but that's a pretty interesting NFC versus AFC matchup.
Yep.
And, you know, what have we seen thus far in these interconference games? You know, the AFC's been flexing their muscle a little bit in some of these high-profile games.
They're dominant. There's 14 interconference games this season. The AFC is 11-3.
Oof.
I think they're 10-2-1. They've been. The AFC, and listen, I was one of these people, guys. You let me know what you think. I thought the NFC was certainly the power conference right now, and guys, right? I mean, even though Baltimore won the Super Bowl last year, the NFC had won, what, 3 or 4 of the last 5?
Yep.
I thought this was the year of the NFC, right, with all those young quarterbacks, all that young talent, and that's not the case, guys. It's really not the case, and by the way, for Patriots fans, people make fun of the AFC, say the Patriots have dominated a weak division. AFC is 9-3 overall. The three losses are all within the division. The Jets and Bills have lost to the Patriots, and the Bills lost to the Jets.
Right.
The AFC East is 6-0 outside the division.
Wow.
And unbeaten against the NFC so far. So, that's why they play the games, guys, right?
Hey,
we don't know until they stop playing. And right now the AFC is really just dominating interconference.
That bodes very well for my Super Bowl pick there, Bill. You know, it
certainly does, Todd.
Have the Patriots, they'll get there, and they'll play Seattle. And that AFC, man, they're going to get it done in that Super Bowl. Telling you.
Kerry, you brought up a good point about the NFC and some of the young quarterbacks. We saw Colin Kaepernick take over for Alex Smith last year. The Chiefs are now 3-0 to start the year, while the 49ers are 1-2, major losses against the Indianapolis Colts and the Seattle Seahawks. What are your quality stats saying now that the Colin Kaepernick era has really kind of transformed the way the 49ers are looking as a franchise?
Well, listen, I don't want to go down too deep down this path, but I was one of those few guys who thought they made a mistake when they benched Alex Smith last year, guys. Not that that matters this year. I mean, you know, the quarterbacks are where they are. But let me throw some numbers to you, okay? This is a quarterback stat line, okay? 25 of 27 completions, that's 93%, 304 yards, 11 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 0 deceptions, 153 rating. That was Alex Smith in his last 2 starts last year for the 49ers.
Before the concussion?
Before the concussion. The game against the Cardinals in week 8, the bye week, then he got the concussion against the Rams. He was on fire, guys. He was blazing away. In fact, in his last full game against the Cardinals, he completed 18 of 19 passes. That was an NFL record 95% completion percentage.
Wow.
In his last full game, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 157 rating against the Arizona team with the best pass defense in football last year, despite all their problems. And they benched him. I honestly wonder, you know, I know Colin Kaepernick, you know, played well against the Patriots. He was an exciting young player. I think we're seeing a young quarterback come back to earth, guys. I don't know why you would have benched a guy who was putting up monster efficiency numbers like Alex Smith was last year. And, you know, he's picked up right where he's left off. No turnovers this season. 4 touchdown passes. He's running the ball just as well as Colin Kaepernick, believe it or not. You know, and the Chiefs are 3-0, and the 49ers are struggling. And a big game for them tonight, guys. If Kaepernick doesn't play well tonight, the could hit the fan in San Francisco.
Bill, the San Francisco 49ers, okay, have, guess where they rank in total points for, points scored this season, 32 teams?
26.
29.
They scored
44 points in 3 weeks.
Wow, that's terrible. And they had a big game against the Packers. What did they score against the Seahawks?
Three,
and then and 7 against the Colts.
Yeah.
Guys, that's not a good sign. I mean, that is, you know, right now they are, you know, we like to talk about real quarterback rating, you know, how well you not just pass the football, but play well in all aspects of quarterbacking, running, taking sacks, fumbles, rushing for touchdowns. The 49, and that's supposed to be a Colin Kaepernick strength, right? Right? You know, I mean, he's a dual threat. He's a big, lanky, speedy guy. They're 24th in real quarterback rating right now.
That's incredible.
The Chiefs are 14th. Alex Smith has his passer rating and his real quarterback rating are both 20 points higher than Colin Kaepernick.
You know,
play with the Chiefs team, by the way, last year that threw 8 touchdown passes all season.
People like to rip Alex Smith because all they see him do is kind of a dink and dunk kind of a play. He doesn't really throw the ball far, and sometimes it looks like he's inaccurate. I think he's trying to throw the ball away and he doesn't want to commit a turnover. That's smart football.
I'll tell you what, I just had this conversation with somebody else earlier today. Game managers win football games, guys. And I know Alex Smith had a rough career. It took him to play for Jim Harbaugh, who's a great quarterback coach. We know that between Andrew Luck and Alex Smith and you know, what Colin Kaepernick has done so far, despite the last 2 games. We know Harbaugh's a great quarterback coach. And, you know, he brought that out of Alex Smith. But, you know, people ridiculed Smith for being a game manager. Well, I'll tell you what, Bart Starr was a game manager. Joe Montana was a game manager. Tom Brady was a game manager. Those guys, you know, won 12 championships between the 3 of them in like 44 years. They won over a quarter of every NFL title from 1961 to 2004. 3 guys, 3 game managers. Not that they did it alone, but they, you know, they did it playing ball control, passing attack football, and that's what wins championships. Not the electrifying, shiny object. They just don't. That's just how it works. And I literally, when I look at Alex Smith's numbers, I can't believe Jim Harbaugh had the cojones to bench him. I really can't, and I think it was a mistake, guys. I really do.
All right, let's kind of pull back and look ahead again to that Sunday night game. Kerry, we want your prediction for the Patriots and the Falcons. Give us a score and who's going to win the game.
Okay. Well, you know what? You know, everyone said this is a test for the Patriots, right? Because their defense has been very good, second in scoring, second in defensive passer rating, a great weak link for this team for years. But you know what? Matt Ryan is definitely a test, but that Atlanta defense has not been so hot itself, guys. Right now, the Patriots are the better defensive team.
Yeah.
And I think we could see some nice offensive plays, and I think this is a game the Patriots can win, guys. I think they can go down there and beat Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta is a well-balanced team. I think the Patriots are coming together a bit. And we, you know, we talked about that intelligence index. The Patriots is a smarter, more efficient team. I don't think this is a game that Atlanta is going to run away by any stretch of the imagination. And I think they can have trouble. By the way, the Patriots played three pretty good pass defenses: Buffalo, Tampa Bay, and the Jets. For all those teams' problems, a pretty good pass defense. Teams on pass defense. And Atlanta is not. I think the Patriots can. Their offense can break out, guys. I really think the Patriots can win this game.
Todd and I both think it's going to be a high-scoring game. What's your final score prediction?
I have high scoring for the Patriots, New England 24, Atlanta 21.
Ooh, all right. So not as high scoring as Todd.
What are you guys thinking?
Todd, what do you got?
I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm actually going to go 28-24 Falcons.
And Kevin, what are you thinking?
It's a tough spot for the Patriots, I think. I'm going to go Atlanta 28, New England 17.
I'm going to go with the Falcons 31. The Patriots 28. So, Kerry, I think is Kerry the only one taking the Patriots?
I may be. Sounds it. But you know, guys, this Atlanta team is not the 13-3 team we saw last season.
Yeah, you're telling me. They're my Super Bowl prediction.
You know, it's just where they're at. By the way, we look at our team perform on what we call our relativity index. By the way, I gave you our Patriots pick. You can get all our picks for every game every week straight up against the spread at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. If folks want to become members here, but we have one of our steps, the relativity index. How well you perform relative to the quality of the competition you played. The Patriots are 6 points better on that indicator, too. 6 points better per game.
Wow.
When you look at the quality of the competition they've faced. Atlanta, you know, Atlanta has been struggling, guys. They've been struggling. So I'll just put it at that.
Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Certainly want to check out his stuff if you're looking to find out who's going to win or lose football games. Kerry, thanks so much for stopping by. Have fun in week four.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good day. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Love when Kerry comes on because we always get kind of interesting analysis compared to what Todd and I usually do, which is mostly fantasy football. Kerry kind of just looks at whole teams and stats that are really help you decide who's going to win or lose football games.
Oh, no doubt about it. He always has a different spin on things that takes a little deeper look at the game. So I think after the break, Bill, I think the three of us need to expand upon our predictions that we just threw out there.
Sounds like a plan to me. Let's take a quick break here. More Football Nation coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
FFJet! Win your fantasy league and your trophy too. It's FFJet! FFJet for you. News, advice, rankings, and expert advice too. FFChamps is for you.
FFChamps.com, ensuring you win from draft to playoffs. FFChamps.com, extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Hey, welcome back to Football Nation. Kevin, I find it very interesting you were playing a Young Jeezy track, considering he's from Atlanta this weekend, and that's where the Patriots are going.
I played some Ludacris, that Atlanta song earlier in the day, trying to mix it up.
From the ATL.
From the ATL. The Dirty That's Bird.
Right. Dirty Bird.
I love this song, by the way.
Yeah, you're an oldie but a goodie. Big Jeezy fan?
I like Jeezy. We like Jeezy up here.
I used to like him, but then he started just rapping about selling cocaine and just doing too much.
Well, I hear cocaine's a hell of a drug, so I can't argue with him.
I hear that too, but I'm just saying, like, give it up already, dude. You're a rapper now. You're not a drug dealer anymore.
It happens. I just like, I like the beats, man. I don't necessarily go off the lyrics. I go off the beats.
Todd, you're with us on that?
Yeah.
Todd listens to his boy Snoop Whale and Snoop Lion.
Yeah, Snoop Mongoose. I'm into the mongoose.
What's a baby mongoose again, Todd? I'm just kidding.
I have no idea.
Let's not drag us back into that hell.
No, that's a good idea. Let's actually go a little bit deeper into our Patriots-Falcons predictions here, because I'm very surprised that only Kerry had the Patriots winning this ballgame.
It was very similar, guys. Earlier in the day, the staff of Patriots Football Weekly, we have four writers here that do a show.
Right.
Three of them picked the Falcons, and the fourth was set to be Fred Kirsch, the publisher and editor, was going to pick the Falcons. His head's telling him to pick the Falcons. But since everyone picked against the Patriots, he decided, I'm going to make my stand, and he picked the Patriots.
Well, I kind of want to do that, too.
Moving forward, Rook also picked the Falcons to win. So it's
really?
Been so 4, 5, and then us three, that's 8. So 7 of the 8 personalities here on Patriots.com radio took the Atlanta Falcons.
See, to me, Matt Ryan and the Falcons just don't lose in the Superdome during the regular season. They just don't.
Bill, let's start with you.
Superdome.
That's the wrong.
Where do they play? Not the Superdome. The Georgia Dome. Whatever.
So, but let's start. Bill's on track here. Let's keep it going. Bill, you picked Atlanta to win this game in a tight one, right?
I picked the Patriots to win, or the Falcons to win 31-28.
Okay, so let's go with, is your reasoning based off the spot that Atlanta's in or the home field advantage? Give us some logical rationale behind the pick.
It has nothing to do with the Falcons have a must-win game, because 1-3 would be a disaster way to start the season for them. It's just more of, I think, it's going to be a really close game, back and forth, and the Falcons are going to have the ball last, and Matt Bryant's going to kick a 51-yard field goal to win the game. I think it's going to be a great game to watch, for sure. That's what I think. I think it is going to be a really good game.
Todd, you have some analysis behind why you're picking Atlanta?
I like them. The Falcons are at home. Okay.
Logical.
The Falcons' backs against the wall. I know that's a cliche and all that, and Bill just kind of shot down that whole thing. But they can't go 1-3.
They really can't. You're right, Todd. They really can't.
Patriots are, on the other hand, are 3-0. Yeah, they've won ugly a couple weeks, but they're 3-0. This is a game that, I mean, it's a high-profile game nationally, of course, Sunday Night Football. They don't need this game, the Patriots. I'm not going to say
it's not a must-win for New England. You got that right.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that, you know, you mentioned it, Kevin. Do you bring the spot of the teams into play when you make these picks?
I do as well, Todd. I do as well. A lot of people don't. I mean, it's completely up to the, you know, what works for you when you're trying to pick these games.
But the home field's huge too. The home field's huge.
And Atlanta, I believe, has obviously the home field and the spot both working in their favor.
That strategy backfired last week with the San Francisco 49ers and the New York Giants.
There you go. I just think I stick to it, and generally it serves me well over, you know, large quantities of time and seasons. And when I look at this game, guys, it's home field advantage, like you both mentioned. It's the Falcons feeling like they have their backs against the wall, and like they have something to prove, like they have to come out here, get this win to get back to 500. I know the Saints play on Monday Night Football. They host Miami. It's a very winnable game. I think they're a touchdown favorite. They win that game, all of a sudden they're 4-0. And if the Falcons lose this, they're 1-3, and the Saints are 4-0. That's a big hole.
The Falcons, too, Kev. I mean, they lost to both of those teams. They lost to Miami in a close one. They lost to the Saints in a close one.
And I mean, right. And I look at a third element to this, guys, and I was just talking a little bit off the air with another fine gentleman that's actually listening to the show, who spent a lot of time in Atlanta. So anyway, when I'm looking at the Patriots team as a whole, I think they're in the top 10 in terms of the youngest teams in the NFL, which is something that's kind of foreign around here. We're used to having kind of older, more experienced, kind of championship-tested teams. They've rebuilt this team over the last 4, 5, 6 years. I don't think that as this team is presently constituted, with the amount of young guys that are playing, the amount of rookies, and some of them undrafted rookies that have never played in a game like this, I think it's a lot to ask, and I think that this is one of those games that if the Patriots turn the ball over one or two times, the game could get away from them in a hurry. And the roof could cave in, and they could get run right out of the building. That's why you guys pick field goal spreads or thereabout. I'm going with an 11-point spread. But my heart, as much as my heart wants to pick the Patriots, my head's telling me that even though I'm picking an 11-point spread, it could be worse. I feel like this is a really, really tough situation for New England to come out with a win.
If the Falcons jump out to an early lead and they blow it, I will never pick the Falcons for any kind of game ever again, because it happened last week with the Miami Dolphins. They had an early lead, and they absolutely blew it. It happened last year in the playoffs, the NFC Championship game, had a big lead against the 49ers, totally blew it. So right now, this week, Tom Brady, we know he's great at fourth quarter and second half comebacks. If the Falcons jump out to an early lead and they blow it again, I will be really disappointed in Atlanta.
Yeah. Didn't they blow the lead to the Seahawks, but then came back at the end and win that too in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, they did. And they also, yes.
They were up 20-0 on the Seahawks, and then the Seahawks came storming back, and then, of course, the Atlanta got away, you know, won the game on the last-minute field goal.
Right.
So they blew that lead too. They were just able to overcome it barely.
They were, right. But they couldn't do it against the Niners, and they couldn't do it against the Dolphins.
On the flip side, guys, this team being the Patriots last year, I don't know if you remember, they played San Francisco. They were down 28 points late in the second half and came back and tied the game.
Yeah.
This is not that team. And I think that if you see Atlanta jump out to a 10-0 lead, a 14-0 lead, I think it's curtains. I don't think this team, this Patriots team.
I don't know, Kev.
I'm just telling you.
I don't know.
I'm just giving you you have every right to disagree. I'm just giving you my opinion that it's not the same team and that they're not built to come back with that sort of firepower as they did in years previous. And I just don't see if Atlanta's able to jump out, you know, a touchdown even, like right away, first possession, they get the ball. Like the crowd gets into it. That place gets going. I just don't think that that's a situation the Patriots can persevere through. But that's just one man's opinion.
You've got to remember that the Falcons defense, you don't need all that firepower that the Patriots had last year coming back against the 49ers. Falcons defense not that good, Kev.
I don't think this offense is nearly as good as it was last year.
What about if Gronk comes back?
If Gronk comes back, I'm still... I don't know. I think that he's a guy. I mean, they're going to force feed him, I think, when you see him on the field. I think you're going to see Brady try to get... Remember Tompkins? I think the first game against Buffalo, he had 14 targets, something ridiculous like that. I think you could see something similar with Gronk, where Brady's just constantly locking in and looking for him because he's a safe, reliable option that Tom has obviously some trust and some chemistry with. But that being said, he's also a guy that if you commit a linebacker and a safety, or you know, sometimes you'll see teams put cornerbacks on him. You can take him away if you game plan for him, and I believe Atlanta is going to game plan like he's going to play. I can't imagine that they would go through this week thinking that he's not going to play. I think that would just be stupid and irresponsible by Mike Smith and that coaching staff. I just think he's a guy that you can take away, and I don't think Amendola is going to be close to playing. I don't even think he's going to make the trip. And it's going to be a big, you know, show me the money game for Aaron Dobson, for Kembrell Tompkins, for Josh Boyce, for Julian Edelman. I mean, these guys are going to have to make plays, and I just don't see it happening. And I think if Atlanta, I'll feel even more the way that I do if I'm watching this game, and in the first quarter I see 7-0, 10-0. I mean, I'll have pretty much no confidence in them coming back. Just me,
no,
though. Just we'll
no
see how
confidence.
It plays. I could be wrong. I could be absolutely 110% wrong. But just off the what I've seen through the preseason, what I've seen during the regular season, I mean, I'm just going off of feel and being around the team and being on the field and watching how they kind of interact and how they get through things. I just think this is a different team, and it's going to take them a while to come together. I think it's going to take them a lot longer than, you know, through week four. I think that if this game was week 10, 11, 12 down the road, like when we're looking at that Denver game in November, I may feel differently. If they're more healthy, they've been through a couple battles. I honestly believe, guys, and this is another thing I was talking to a few people about. This, to me, I'm so excited for this game and literally jumping around the radio studio just thinking about it because this, to me, feels like the opener. Like the bell has rung. This is going to be the first game that you get hit in the mouth. And it's like, okay, like these first three games were, you know, they were a little tighter than a lot of people anticipated. And the games were very much in doubt, the first two at least. But this is just it's a different vibe. It's a different opponent. You know, you're on the road, national TV, against a good team, a team that's better than 1-2, that's going to be better than that at the end of the season. I think this is like the true, like, ding, ding, ding.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the beginning of a three-week stretch.
Oh, it's a gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got the Bengals after this, and then the Saints.
And then that game at the Jets isn't going to be a layup.
The Bengals, the Saints, and who else?
And then at
Jets.
The Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
I mean, those games, I mean, the Jets already came in here, and they fought them tooth and nail.
And then Miami.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, they're in the meat of their schedule here. I mean, this is they've graduated from the JV and now they're playing the varsity teams.
And give me a break with the Jets. I still don't think they're as a threat.
As a guy that, you know, lived through a lot of these games the past 4 years, I mean, yes, the Patriots have had their number, but there have been a lot of tight, uncomfortable games and some losses mixed in there. And I don't take those games for granted, especially on the road. I don't take any divisional game on the road for granted.
The three I'm talking about, Bill, obviously at Atlanta, at Cincinnati, then the Saints, they get them in Foxborough. At the Jets, I'm with you, Bill. I'm not too worried about that game. It might
not
be an ugly
all.
Game. But
obviously, the lesser of the three. I totally agree with you.
Lesser
but I just,
of the
but
four.
I, of the four, excuse me. Yes. But I just don't take that as like an automatic layup.
But
I
there's two other games after that before the bye. They got the Dolphins at home October 27th, and then they get the Steelers at home November 3rd. Then they have a bye.
Which the Steelers, you know, obviously looked like a different game before the season started.
True, but by then, you know.
But they could have got some things together by then. I absolutely.
It's week nine for them. So
no,
they,
and then
you know.
And then on the backside of it, you still got Houston, you still got Denver. I mean, their schedule is not a layup. It's not, you know, it looked good to start. They got out to a 3-0 start. Everyone's great. You know, there's unicorns and show ponies dancing around this team, and everything's the footy pajama wearing Patriots fans are all happy. And a lot of people pick the Patriots to win this game. And if they win, I'm not going to be stunned. I'll be very, very pleasantly surprised.
What did I ask you last week, Kev, before the Tampa Bay game? We looked ahead a month, and I asked you if you'd be happy with a certain record. Remember what I told you?
I think you said something like 4-2, if like through six games or something like that, if there'd be 4-2.
And you said you'd take it in heart.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would gobble that up. Okay. That would mean they would win two out of these next three games.
One out of the next three.
No, 4-2. No, you're right. One out of the, there we go. So let's stretch this out even further. So they're 3-0. Let's go.
Go to the bye week.
So what's how many games is that?
The bye week is week 10, so that's 9 games before the bye week.
9 games. And
so 3-0.
And so we've got let's say Atlanta's a loss, that goes to 3-1.
Yep.
I'm going to give them
they're not going to lose 3 in a row.
The Cincy game's tough. I'm going to give them Cincy. So let's say that makes them 4-1. I'm going to give them let's say they lose to the Saints, that makes them 4-2. Let's say they beat the Jets, that makes them 5-2. Say they beat the Dolphins, that makes them 6-2. What's the next one?
Pittsburgh
7-2. I think they could go 7-2. I think 7-2 would be the ceiling for them. If they ever went 8-1, I mean, it would be crazy. I think at worst, 7-2 in my case, in my opinion, is the best. I think at most you could see, if things really went south, I think you could see something like 5-4. I think, but somewhere in the middle it may lie. It could be 6-3. I'd be happy with 6-3.
Kev. You say it's going to go somewhere south. They're 3-0 right now.
No. I'm not saying it's going to go south. If it goes south.
Okay, I hear you. I'm saying they're 3-0 now. Don't you think it can only get better? I mean, the first three weeks, they won close.
I completely
they won
agree.
Ugly.
I completely agree. That's why I'm saying, in my opinion, Todd was asking me, going through the bye week, 9 games, yeah. I see them right around 7-2 is what I would pick.
All right.
And I think that's a fair, accurate, not accurate, who knows if it's going to be accurate, but it's a fair kind of objective opinion. It's not saying they're going to run the table, they're the greatest team ever. It's kind of taking into account the talent that they're running up against. And I will admit, you know, for as much as this stadium gets flack for not being loud and, you know, not being a tough place to play, they still play well here. Let's face it. Their home record speaks for itself. So once you can, if you're able to kind of survive and you can split this Atlanta-Cincinnati back-to-back road games here, if you can just get a split out of that, I think you're in good shape because you get New Orleans at home, which is going to give you a fighting chance to win that game. And by that time, you're in mid-October. God knows what the temperature is going to be like, the wind, all that. You know, you got a dome team coming up here, so that could be no picnic. You've got Miami coming up here. You know, you've got a chance to make some hay here at home once you can get through these back-to-back road games. So I think that 7-2 is definitely attainable. I would be shocked to see them do anything better than that, and I would be stunned to see them do anything worse than, say, like 5-4. We'll put it that way.
Well, let's hope to worse than 5-4. Let's
no. I would be shocked if I saw anything worse than 5-4. But what I'm saying is, I'm picking. If you put a gun to my head and you say, Kev, like what you did, Todd, you said, give me a record through the bye week. Give me a record through 9 games. I'm going sticking my name behind 7-2.
Okay. How about you, Bill? You agree?
Yeah, I'm going same kind of prediction Kevin has. I can't see them going 5-4, 6-3 or 7-2 certainly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
And that's with me saying that they're going to lose this weekend.
So they're going to have to pick up some serious.
So 6-1 after this weekend.
Yeah, which I think is definitely attainable, Bill. I think it is. I think that Cincinnati game. Do you guys? So let me ask you this. So the back to backs we have here at Atlanta, at Cincy. Do you see them splitting?
I think they're going to lose 2 of the next 3.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
You think they're going to lose to the Saints, the Bengals, or the Falcons? 2 of those 3 teams?
Yeah, I already said they're going to lose to the Falcons, so I'm not sure yet on the Bengals and the Saints. They're going to lose 1 of those 2.
Okay.
They beat the Saints and they beat the Bengals.
So Bill's saying they. You know, they split the two road games here, and they win the New Orleans game.
Right.
Okay. Just curious. I mean,
it's in New Orleans, that game?
No, it's here. It's
yeah,
up here.
Yeah, it's home. Yeah,
and I think that they have, you know, the weather guys up here has still been pretty good, but that game's in mid-October. I think it's a
4:25 start.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule here. And,
yeah, it's October 13th, 4:25 kickoff.
By that time, those are the type of games, guys, but that by halftime, the sun is completely down. It's nighttime by 6 o'clock at night, and it's cold and it's windy, unless you get one of these freak games where it's like, you know, 60 degrees out. I think that could play a factor with that dome team coming up here. We've also had, for as nice as it's been, guys, we've had a ton of wind. You know, you saw the Patriots, you know, pick that ball off at the end of the first half against Tampa. You saw Tlaib pick off Freeman, got out of bounds with like 11 seconds left, and you saw basically a little quick 3-yard hitch pattern to Edelman, and then a quarterback sneak by Brady out at like the 40-yard line almost. And, you know, having the confidence to send Gostkowski out there for like a 54 or so yard field goal, and he banged it through with a ton to spare because he was kicking downwind. So the wind has been, it was probably 20, 25 miles an hour, even though it was a nice game. A nice day for a game on Sunday.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if we can get some conditions like that where, say, it's 40 degrees and a little bit raw and you get a 15, 20 mile an hour wind. See how that ball comes out of Drew Brees' hands as opposed to in that nice heated dome.
Well, I mean, no question about it. Playing in the dome for Drew Brees is a big-time advantage.
Absolutely.
Big-time advantage.
And it's something to look at this year. You know, Todd was kind of looking forward to the Super Bowl. And, you know, if Atlanta, like some people are predicting, and I think, Bill, you're one of them, if Atlanta is able to make the Super Bowl, to have that game in January outdoors in New York would be a severe handicap for a team like Atlanta going against a team like New England if they were to make it that's used to playing in those conditions. Just something to look forward to.
What do you say we finish up the show with some emails? We also have a bit of breaking news. Alex Flanagan of the NFL Network is reporting that Vernon Davis looks like a go tonight. She asked Coach Jim Harbaugh whether or not Davis would be playing, and he said, quote, "It looks good. He's feeling good." So that's pretty good news if you're planning on using Vernon Davis. I do have a rumor update. Hakeem Nicks may be traded to the Detroit Lions. What do you guys think about that one?
Wow. That would be
anything
he
right
and
now.
Megatron together? That'd be interesting.
That's my good friend Incarcerated Bob talking on Twitter. Apparently, his news sources in Detroit are saying that Hakeem Nicks, there's trade talks between the Giants and the Lions Hakeem Nicks.
I'd take Hakeem Nicks up here. Anybody?
Reuben Randall's stock would go up, too.
Oh, I have Reuben Randall on my bench in one of my leagues.
Don't trade him. Don't drop him.
At the advice of Bill, I picked him up off the scrap heap.
There you go. All right, so final emails of the day. Let's go to Ryan in Denver. Second wide receiver. It's causing him to lose his hair. Kevin, he's going to join us. He has A.J. Green as his number one, but his number two options are Dwayne Bowe, Julian Edelman, DeAndre Hopkins, and Tavon Austin.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
And Kembrell Tompkins is sitting out on the waiver wire. Nobody else worth mentioning. I don't know. Oh, it's a standard non-PPR league. So he has Julian Edelman. Todd, in a non-PPR, would you rather have Tompkins over Edelman?
I think Tompkins. Tompkins? Kembrell Tompkins or DeAndre Hopkins? Which one are you talking about?
He has Hopkins.
Okay.
Tompkins is on the waiver wire.
Okay. Non-PPR.
Would you rather have Edelman over Tompkins?
Edelman's the safe play. It's going to get you 6, 7, 8 points, Bill, in a non-PPR. Ken Brawl's okay. going to give you 2, or he's going to give you 15.
Right. All right, so who should his wide receiver 2 be for this week? Are you still sticking with Dwayne Bowe?
I'm going to stick with Bowe against the Giants. The Giants stink.
If Andre Johnson doesn't play, he should go with DeAndre Hopkins.
Against Seattle?
Yes.
There you go.
If Andre doesn't play. His running backs are Doug Martin, MJD, and Giovanni Bernard. He thinks he's okay there. Can you tell me something positive about Dwayne Bowe?
No, there's nothing positive to say about Dwayne Bowe.
Other than he's playing a really crappy defense.
Yeah, that's it. The matchup is perfect. Of course, it was perfect last week against the Eagles. He got 1 catch for 4 yards.
Next question is from Dan M. Need 2 flex options for 2 separate teams. 10-team standard scoring lead, Todd. Giovanni Bernard, Marquise Colston, or Bell? I guess it's Le'Veon, not Joik. I don't know which Bell he's talking about. Does it matter?
10-team standard. Well, Gio's in.
Gio's
and,
in.
And
okay.
I don't know which Billy's talking about. I'm going to go Colson and Gio.
Colson and Gio. Okay, 12-team PPR league. Brian Hartline or Knowshon Moreno? PPR.
Hartline.
Hartline.
Yeah, I like Hartline too. Well, you even got Kevin chiming in there. I like that.
Oh, Kevin's listening.
That's a first.
Hey.
All right, so we all have our predictions. Kerry Byrne is the only one taking the Atlanta Falcons. The 3 of us are taking the New England Patriots. Last chance to change your picks.
What? You just got it reversed.
What?
We're taking the Falcons.
Yeah.
Kerry is taking the Patriots.
Yes. I'm crazy dyslexic today.
Yes.
It's okay. Really bad. I didn't take my medicine. It's getting a little hectic.
Okay.
My bad.
Hey, you know, Bill, if the Falcons lose this game, I mean.
Game over. Can I change my Super Bowl prediction if they lose this weekend?
Are you going to change it to Carolina?
No.
You know what?
No, I might
we'll let you change it again because your Super Bowl picks are always hilarious. So, yeah, I'd like to get another prediction out of you that's going to go wrong.
All right.
He's
cool.
Basically calling you a clown.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's mean.
He's called me a lot worse.
Oh, there you go. For another day.
You have to admit, Kevin, his Super Bowl predictions are
entertaining. Entertaining.
Yeah, well, the whole Bengals like undefeated through the bye week or whatever last year was pretty funny.
Well,
they
how
came
about the Panthers. Going
they
to
came
the Super
one.
Bowl?
Hey, hold on. The Bengals came 2 games very close to that mark last year.
Okay.
And they're off to a really good start this year.
Okay.
The Chiefs, who I had in the playoffs, 3-0.
I like the Chefs.
The Miami Dolphins, who I had in the playoffs, 3-0.
You didn't
so
have them
while
in the playoffs.
I didn't.
No, you had the Steelers and the Chiefs.
Oh damn! I said I liked the Dolphins though.
You said a lot of things.
He forgets all of his picks. That's how confident he is.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't have this written down anywhere. I have different picks for different shows. Depends
so you,
on the...
So you have a chance at being right somewhere.
Exactly. I'm always right somewhere along the line. All right, we're going to wrap up today's show. We appreciate everyone listening to Football Nation. Have fun in Week 4. Best of luck in your fantasy football matchups. For Kevin Collins, Todd DeVries, I'm Bill Enright.
Want to see my penis, purple helmet, my private jet, my pubic snake, my Peyton Man thing, my Adrian Peterson? Want to see my Danny Woodhead? That's not even a joke. I just think he's a good player. Like, name my penis after him.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.